Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
To be someone that imitates someone else takes practice. It takes effort. It takes time. And if you watch the sermon preview video that I gave this week, I mentioned in there a man by the name of Frank Caliendo. Can you not hear me? I promise it's on. Wireless one. I tell you what, I can't get a break. Well, if you've seen that preview video, I talked about Frank Caliendo, who is a comic, and he makes fun of other people for a living. It's basically what he does, but he does it by imitating them. And seeing an interview of how he imitated these particular people, he was interviewed and asked, "Well, what do you do? How do you do it? How do you get to this point where you're so good at it?" And he talked about the fact that he spends hours and hours poring over video, poring over audio, and he listens to them, but he also watches their mannerisms, because he understood it's not just the fact that I need to sound like them, but I need to look like them. And then he would also go so far as to not just look like them, but he would exaggerate their features. For instance, when he would impersonate George Bush, he would kind of, he'd squint, but he really embellished it. And then he also did this head nod thing. And he would do that. He'd embellish it as he would talk, and then he'd try to, I can't do it, so I'm not going to even try. But he would do that to embellish that, and that's what made it funny. But here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, we're not talking about just impersonating someone to be an imposter or to make fun of anyone. But here it says, be imitators of God as beloved children. And so we see this qualification that he gives, as beloved children. When, for those of you that have children, you recognize the fact that they want to imitate you. They want to be like you at times. There's even moments where they will make fun of you. You know, for instance, I'll say, it's time to go clean your room. And if they don't want to clean their room, what do? They imitate Dad's voice. They say, it's time to go clean your room. You know, they do that, but they're imitating, they're trying to imitate you to make fun of it, but they also imitate your mannerisms, and they imitate who you are. And not only that, but because they're children and they're your children, they look like you. And there's people that'll come up to me and say, you look just like your mom. I wish they would say I look just like my dad, but I look like a woman. No, I look like my mom. I take on her features. I have her freckles. I have her face. I have those kinds of things. And so I take on that part of her. And some people will come up to you and say, you look just like your father. Or your eyes are just like his. Or your mouth is just like hers. Whatever it might be. And they recognize that you are their child. And so here's the point for us today is, we need to be God's children. Not just based on the fact that we've obeyed the gospel call, but the fact that we're actually living a life that expresses and shows people, I am a child of God. I am one who is beloved by my Father. And so as you look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, in verse 2 it says, and walk in love. If we're going to be devoted, if we're going to be those who are imitating God and take that time to really devote ourselves to it, we understand that God is love. And when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, he responded, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. And so if we're going to imitate God, we have to walk in love. What does it mean to walk in love? I don't know that you can see love, or that there's some sort of love barrier that you walk in and you walk into a room of love. That's not exactly what he means. He's talking about your lifestyle, how you live, how you treat people, how you treat God, how you come before him. Do you truly live as someone that loves God? Do you live as someone that loves your neighbor as yourself? Too often we can get caught up in being those who just love ourselves and not loving our neighbor as ourselves. Those who love ourselves so much that we don't bother to listen to what God's law, what God's word has to say. And so we don't live in a manner worthy of being his children. The imitators of God, and the first way we can do that is to walk in love. And we have a wonderful example of how to walk in love. You look at what he goes on to say here in verse 3. He says, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Here is Jesus, the Son of God, who is born of a woman by the Holy Spirit, and he lives his life understanding and knowing that he's going to give it up. I'm going to give myself up for God's people. And he wasn't just giving himself up for God's people, the Jews or the Israelites, but he says, I'm giving myself up for all of mankind. He says, I'm going to be that offering. I'm going to be that sacrifice that will be on that tree, that blood will flow from me. And it's that blood that will atone, that will wash away their sins. He truly loved man. He loved man because he was God himself. He loved man because God the Father had this plan set in motion before the foundation of the world to save man, because God the Father loved man. See, this kind of love is, it's beyond just the physical attraction that we might have to the opposite sex. It's beyond the love that we have for something that we just desire. It's a self-sacrificial love. And that's what you see with Jesus. He says, I am going to sacrifice myself because I love you so much. I want to see you saved. I want to see you have salvation. I want to see you have a relationship with your Father, with your Creator. That's how much he loved you. That's how much God loves you, that he was willing to send his Son to do that very thing. How much do we love God? We have to become an offering. We have to give ourselves up. We have to become that sacrifice. Turn over to Romans chapter 12, where Paul makes another comment here. Instead of Jesus being that sacrifice, we're encouraged to be a sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, that's what Jesus did. He was that sacrifice. And now we're being called to be a sacrifice, not in the same way, in the sense that because I go up and I'm lifted up on a cross, my blood will forgive the sins of the world. No, that's not our sacrifice. We're becoming a living sacrifice in which everything we do, everything we are, everything that we should be is given to God. And we will live for him. We want to glorify him. We want to do everything to lift him up. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, early on, says what his disciples should be. In verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. In verse 16 it says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. If we are walking in love, we are walking with a sacrificial spirit, understanding that we are offering ourselves to God. That the money that we give on a Sunday, we're offering it to God and for His works to continue to be done. For these good deeds that we do, not only individually, but what we do collectively as a church, as a congregation, can glorify God. And not just the fact that we are glorifying God, but as what is pointed out in that verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that others see those good deeds and they in turn glorify God. It's not that we're trying to be noticed by men because we want to be praised. It's the fact that those who see what we're doing recognize we're not doing it for the glory of us, but that we're doing it because we love God, because He loved us. And we are sacrificing our lives to do His good works on earth. In Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about the fact in verse 10, he says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. If we're going to be imitators of God, we have to walk in love. If we're going to be imitators of God, we have to be those who serve just as Jesus served. And He came to seek and to save those who were lost. He came to serve, not to be served Himself. So we need to take that same attitude to be that sacrificial person, to recognize that I want you to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to be there. And I'm going to do everything I can to make that happen. Everything in my power that I can do to help you, to assist you, to show you that I love you is what I need to do. That's what you need to do. That's what all Christians should be doing, is recognizing the love that we have for God should motivate us to love one another and to love those who are lost so that we can see everyone saved. This takes a lot of devotion. This takes a lot of sacrifice. We see those words, offering, sacrifice, gave Himself up there in verse 2. I want to read you an excerpt from a letter that a communist man wrote to his fiance. It was a letter where he was breaking up with her because he was so devoted to the communist cause. It's not every Sunday you get a sermon where something communist is read or heard, but I want you to listen to his devotion and understand, am I as devoted as this person is to communism? Am I as devoted to Christ? Listen to his words. There is one thing in which I am in dead earnest about, and that is the communist cause. It is my life, my business, my religion, my hobby, my sweetheart, my wife, my bread and meat. I work at it in the daytime and dream of it at night. Its hold on me grows, not lessens. As time goes on, therefore, I cannot carry on a friendship or even a conversation without relating it to this force which both drives and guides my life. I evaluate people, looks, ideas, and actions according to how they affect the communist cause and by their attitude toward it. I've already been in jail because of my ideals, and if necessary, I'm ready to go before a firing squad. Now, he is someone who is a fanatic. He is someone that is a radical, right? But do you notice his words of devotion, of commitment, of really sacrifice, and how he's looking at the communist cause and how he is so devoted to it? I'm not telling you to become a communist, so don't think that, all right? What I want you to see is the fact that he was devoted to that cause. We see people today who are devoted to causes and who are very militant about them. the LGBT cause. People are so devoted to it. There's so many other causes in this world that people grab hold of and devote their lives to. What about Christians? You see, the challenge is that we are supposed to be devoting our lives to Christ, to God. I worry, though, that maybe it's become more like a club. that we wear the name Christian because, well, it's just something that my family has done. And so, that's all I do. And so we come and we show up on Sundays and we show up to various events and we do some of those things. But for the most part throughout the week, we don't bother to talk to anyone about Jesus. We don't bother to see how we can help our brothers and sisters in Christ. We just say, I just do that as a part of my life. Not truly being devoted to God. Being here, as it says, to be imitators of God. That's a big command, to be an imitator of God. I'm taking on His characteristics. I'm taking on His role in this world that He's given to me. He says, I want you to work with me to save souls. I want you to love people. I want you to speak the truth in love. While we need to be those who walk in love, while we need to be those who are serving, we need to be those who live a pure life. See, we can put on a mask pretty easily. It's easy to put on a mask and put on a show and become what many will look at and say, well, he's just a hypocrite, or she's just a hypocrite. On Sundays and on various events, they're out in front and they're leading and they've got something nice to say and they can do some wonderful things and they can lead people. But did you hear about what she did this week at work and how she treated her employees? Did you hear about how he was at the bar every night this week, just getting completely drunk? Are we living the life that we should in a pure way? You see, in verses 3 through 5 here, it says, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And so if we are going to be imitators of God, we've got to be those who are pure, who are holy. In 1 Peter, Peter says it this way, be holy for I am holy, says the Lord, right? It's a commandment that he even gave to the Israelites. Be holy for I am holy. We live in a country, in a world that is filled with all kinds of immorality, all kinds of impurity. Certainly greed, covetousness is here. And it is a part of the American system. These things have become embedded within it. How many politicians do we hear about with their immoral behavior or their impurity or their greed and what they do? Oh, sure, I can make that a law for you. But what kind of deal are you going to give me for me to make that a law? For me to pass this bill, for me to vote for this particular thing. And it's not just politicians, it's not people that we just picture in those settings. It can be any one of us as well, where we get trapped in the race for money. Not just to have money, to use it as a tool that God's given, but where it becomes the fact that we love money itself. With the idea of greed is that there is never enough of it. And the same can be true of immorality or impurity, that we get to the point where there is just never enough, and we want more and more and more. And you see the promise here for those of us that get stuck in the immorality and impurities and greed in this life. Verse 5, the promise is, you know that no one like this has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And so the flip side of that has to be true as well. If we're not living that way and instead we're living pure, holy lives, lives that we are offering to God, that we are sacrificing to Him, that we are living as Jesus gave an example of how to live, then it should be true that we have an inheritance with God. We have an inheritance to look forward to receiving. In fact, we've received already portions of it now, and we're just looking forward to the full fruition of it in the future. And we get to live in a relationship with God right now, and we shouldn't forget it. Think about your relationship with God right now at this moment. That you can have it. That you can go to Him in prayer. That you can read His words, that He's communicated with you. And sometimes we say, I wish I could just hear and listen to God just like the patriarchs did in the Old Testament. How God talked to Abraham, how God spoke to Moses, how God talked to these people. He's spoken to you. Not with an audible voice, but He's written down His word for you. You can see what He has to say on various issues. You can see what He has to communicate with you. He says, this is what I want you to know. When I think about Solomon in the book of Proverbs, he's writing this to his sons. Here are these wise sayings. Here's what I as a father have to give to you. When you look at this collection of books and words, it's God saying, as your father, as your creator, this is what I have to give to you. It's up to you to decide to live by my words, to commit your life to it, to be completely and utterly devoted to God, to love me just as I have loved you. Are you ready to be an imitator of God? I know it's not necessarily something that we think about all the time. How am I supposed to be like God? Well, He's told us just how to be like Him. Walk in love. Be a servant. Be someone that sacrifices, that offers yourself up to help others. Be someone who lives a pure and holy life. This week, think about things that you can do to serve others, to help others. How you can actually walk in love in the workplace. You see in the previous verses from in chapter 4, if you start in verse 25 and read with me down to verse 32, you see a pretty good application of what we should do. He says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Speak truth. Don't waste time lying. Verse 26, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil an opportunity. We get angry. It's an emotion that God's given us. Anger in and of itself isn't bad. And when you get angry this week, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to lose all control and let loose? Or are you going to say, you know what? I need to take a time out. It's funny, we just watched a video last night up at camp. You know, I drove up there yesterday to be a part of this and watch these videos, these training videos. And one of the things that they had to talk about was if you're getting angry with the camper, if you're getting frustrated with the camper, it's okay to just stop and ask for someone else to come and help with that situation, and you walk away while you collect yourself. Don't get so frustrated and angry with someone that you start to do something you know you shouldn't. to walk in love this week. When something happens and you start to become angry, take a moment to cool down. See if there's something better you can do than lashing out in anger. Verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor performing with his own hands what is good so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Walk in love this week. Don't steal. Just don't steal. And sometimes we think, well, I don't steal. How about getting a water cup at a fast food place and then deciding, you know, just a little bit of soda isn't that big of a deal. And you're taking something that you didn't pay for. That's stealing. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Instead of saying words that bring others down, speak words that build others up. Let them know that you truly love them and care for them. And if we will live this way, we will not grieve the Holy Spirit, as he talks about in verse 30. The Holy Spirit by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. And he says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Instead, let's be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Let's walk in love this week. Let's sacrifice ourselves to help others, to glorify God. Let's live holy and pure lives. If you're ready to start this walk as an imitator of God, you have the opportunity this morning to put him on in baptism, to clothe yourself with Christ, is how Paul puts it in Galatians chapter 3, to truly live as God's child. And if you're ready this morning to rededicate your life, you recognize you have not been living like the Christian you ought to have been living, like the Christian life you ought to have been living, then come forward as we stand and as we sing.